No astronomer discovering an unknown planet could have been happier than Pieter when he spotted a new type of biot and secured a good photo of it through his telescope. Unfortunately, it seemed that all the interesting species were over at the South Pole, where they were performing mysterious tasks round the horns. Something that looked like a centipede with suction pads could be seen from time to time exploring Big Horn itself, while round the lower peaks, Pieter had caught a glimpse of a burly creature that could have been a cross between a hippopotamus and a bulldozer. And there was even a double-necked giraffe, which apparently acted as a mobile crane. Presumably, Rama, like any ship, required testing, checking, and repairing after its immense voyage. The crew was already hard at work. When would the passengers appear? Biot classifying was not Pieter's main job. His orders were to keep watch on the two or three exploring parties that were always out, to see that they did not get into trouble, and to warn them if anything approached. He alternated every 6 hours with anyone else who could be spared, though more than once he had been on duty for 12 hours at a stretch. As a result, he now knew the geography of Rama better than any man who would ever live. It was as familiar to him as the Colorado mountains of his youth. When Jerry Kirchhoff emerged from Airlock Alpha, Pieter knew at once that something unusual was happening. Personnel transfers never occurred during the sleeping period, and it was now past midnight by mission time. Then Pieter remembered how short-handed they were and was shocked by a much more startling irregularity.
"Jerry, who's in charge of the ship?"
"I am," said the exec coldly as he flipped open his helmet. "You don't think I'd leave the bridge while I'm on watch, do you?" He reached into his suit carry-all and pulled out a small can still bearing the label Concentrated Orange Juice to make 5 liters.
"You're good at this, Pieter. The skipper is waiting for it."
Pieter hefted the can, then said,
"I hope you've put enough mass inside it. Sometimes they get stuck on the first terrace."
"Well, you're the expert." That was true enough. The hub observers had had plenty of practice, sending down small items that had been forgotten or were needed in a hurry. The trick was to get them safely past the low gravity region and then to see that the Coriolis effect did not carry them too far away from the camp during the 8-kilometer roll downhill. Pieter anchored himself firmly, grasped the can, and hurled it down the face of the cliff. He did not aim directly towards Camp Alpha, but almost 30 degrees away from it. Almost immediately, air resistance robbed the can of its initial speed, but then the pseudo-gravity of Rama took over, and it started to move downwards at a constant velocity. It hit once near the base of the ladder, and did a slow-motion bounce which took it clear of the first terrace.
"It's okay now," said Pieter. "Like to make a bet?"
"No," was the prompt reply.
"You know the odds." "You're no sportsman. But I'll tell you now, it will stop within 300 meters of the camp."
"That doesn't sound very close."
"You might try it sometime. I once saw Joe miss by a couple of kilometers."
The can was no longer bouncing. Gravity had become strong enough to glue it to the curving face of the North Dome. By the time it had reached the second terrace, it was rolling along at 20 or 30 kilometers an hour and had reached very nearly the maximum speed that friction would allow.
"Now we'll have to wait," said Pieter,
seating himself at the telescope so that he could keep track of the messenger.
"It will be there in 10 minutes. Ah, here comes the skipper. I've got used to recognizing people from this angle. Now he's looking up at us."
"I believe that telescope gives you a sense of power."
"Oh, it does. I'm the only person who knows everything that's happening in Rama. At least I thought I did," he added plaintively, giving Kirchhoff a reproachful look.
"If it will keep you happy, the skipper found he'd run out of toothpaste." After that, conversation languished. But at last, Pieter said,
"Wish you'd taken that bet. He's only got to walk 50 meters. Now he sees it. Mission complete. Thanks, Pieter. A very good job. Now you can go back to sleep.
Sleep? I'm on watch until 0400.
Sorry, you must have been sleeping, or how else could you have dreamed all this?